book of Revelation. Turn back to chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Revelation. The Apostle John said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." Imagine this. "And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Get that phrase there. And many Bible scholars think that this is a picture of the rapture of the church. Chapter 4 here of Revelation, verse 1. When the church is called out. Because from this point on, the church is no longer seen in the book of Revelation. "And immediately I was in the spirit," John said, "and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." John said, "I seen somebody sitting on the throne in heaven. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardim stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an Elmer. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders." Many scholars say that represents the church that's just been raptured. "Sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold." Now look down in verse chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside." In other words, both sides, there was writing. "Sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." John said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither even to look at it. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and it to loose the 7 seals thereof. Behold, I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." May God bless his word. Father, thank you for the word. For in the Word, you're telling us of future events that's going to take place immediately after the rapture of the church. Give us hearts that are inquisitive, that wants to know more, and that we want to live a way to please you as we wait for this event to happen, which could happen at any moment. Bless us and make us useful as your people, as we await that great day, that moment when we hear the trumpet sound and the Lord descends with a shout to receive the redeemed of the Lord and to take us home to be with Him forever. Bless us, I pray, in the holy, righteous name of Jesus. Amen. The book of Revelation from chapter 4 on is a book of future events. Everything from where we just started reading, chapter 4, to the rest of the book is something that's in the future. We just read some about what's going to be taking place, which could begin at any second, because the church is, Christ could come imminently. In other words, there's nothing that says He can't come at any moment. In chapter 1 of Revelation, John is told, and you might want to notice this in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, in verse 19, write the things which you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. This is an outline of the book of Revelation, the only book in the Bible that gives you an outline of the book. And there it is for the book of Revelation, a three-point outline. What you've seen, the things that are, and what shall be hereafter. And actually, in this outline, we're in point number 2, the things that are. We're in the church age. And we are in, I believe, the last of the church age, the age of the Laodicean church, the worldly church. I want to discuss with you today some of the coming events that's going to begin at any moment. We might not even get home. After the rapture of the church, the events of chapter 4 through Revelation 22 will begin to take place. They'll take place over a 7-year period of time. For the sake of time, we'll discuss only a brief portion in our message today. We don't have time to do it all. It's too vast. But John sees a throne in heaven. Don't you know that was something to see? And see the one sitting on the throne? Folks, God Almighty is sitting on the throne. He don't ever get off the throne, brother. Amen? And He's sitting there on the throne, and He's holding a 7-seal scroll. Or we would say a book, but it's actually a scroll. With writing on both sides, and it's sealed with 7 seals. Who is this on the throne? It's the sovereign, holy, eternal, all-knowing God, who is about to allow His only Son, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of all the world, to bring about long overdue justice against rebelling, God-defying sinners. That's who He is. Amen. Think how patient God has been for 7,000 years waiting on man to repent. Waiting 7,000 years. No one is going to stop Him, shut Him down, or take away any of His tools of judgment that He's got. He has warned and warned men that this day is coming. And they had better be prepared. But none of these have prepared on whom this judgment is about to fall. Oh, people have got every excuse in the world. God wouldn't judge. God wouldn't do this. I don't believe there is a God. Well, we'll find out one of these mornings. Because the Word of God, who gave this book, says this is what He's going to do. He's warned and warned and warned and told men to better prepare. But none of these have prepared on whom judgment is going to fall. And now it's time for the wrath of God. The day is coming when the wrath of God is really going to come. You think it's hard times now? Oh, it's heavenly now to what's coming. This seven seal scroll contains the judgments of God that's going to come upon the earth during the 7-year tribulation, and there's not going to be any mercy. Amen. Some have said this book is the title deed to the earth. That's what I was taught when I was enrolled in Bible college. And since I have read scores and scores of commentary since then, I've seen scholar after scholar say they believe this is the title deed to the earth in the hand of God. Who made the world to start with, folks? God. He owns it. Remember, Satan had wrestled the rulership away from Adam. God told Adam to rule the world, but Adam messed up when he sinned, and now Jesus has defeated Satan at the cross. And now he's going to come and take back the rulership and defeat and destroy all the enemies of God. Won't that be a day? Won't that be a day? Amen. Then he'll set up his own righteous kingdom. Boy, now that's going to be the kingdom. Amen. That's going to be the kingdom. A righteous kingdom. When people sin, they'll be caught right then and dealt with. Amen. For 6,000 years, man has ignored and rebelled and refused to submit to his Creator. I don't need God. You can't even breathe without God, folks. Now justice at last is coming as God is going to put an end to all the unlawfulness that has marred his creation. Amen. The hope and dreams of the righteous at last are going to finally come true. Their cries and suffering have been unheeded for far too long. But now God has had enough. And his patience has run its course. So the Apostle John writes in Revelation 5, 6, and 7, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, and it's Christ, the resurrected one. Amen. Having seven heads, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Amen. You know what? Judgment's been appointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now God's going to give him permission to come down to deal with this world that's in rebellion. The lamb that was slain was God's lamb who he had provided, and it was his only begotten son. Ordained to die upon the cross for the sins of the world, that salvation might be offered to all who believe in him. Think about this. The offer of salvation to rebelling sinners. Thank God some have responded. Some have responded. In fact, Jesus said, a few have responded. Hey, the few. What love, mercy, and grace was being freely offered to all mankind who would respond by faith, just by faith, to believe. Just believe. Not called upon to do anything but believe. Believing will change your life, because when you believe, he gives you life. Amen? He gives you life. It's offered freely to all mankind who would respond by faith to his offer of forgiveness. To be forgiven, There is nothing in this world like knowing you're forgiven. Amen. There's nothing like it. To know you're forgiven. To know you're no longer condemned. To know you have peace with your Maker. There's nothing like it. Money will not purchase it. The tribulation is the final week of judgment upon Israel. Listen to this. Upon Israel for all of her sins. She has already experienced 483 years of judgment from God. And God said she would experience 490 years of judgment. She's already had 483 of them. She's got 7 more years to go. These last 7 years are the fulfillment of prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. I want to read them to you. It's kind of lengthy, but listen to me. You might want to mark in your Bible or make a note to go back and read them and meditate on them. But here is what God had originally said to Israel because of her disobedience. 70 weeks, which is 490 years, are determined upon thy people, Israel, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, disobeying God, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem to the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls, even in troublous times. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. These last 7 years will eventually be much worse than all the looting and the rioting we have witnessed recently in our country. You see how in some of these northern cities what's going on? It's going to be much worse than that. It's going to be worldwide. Amen. Folks, when this church is raptured out, the church of Jesus Christ, all hell is going to break loose. Amen. There will be gangs looting, killing, stealing, and destroying everything, everywhere, as all hell breaks loose. That's what will happen before the Antichrist gets on the scene and kind of creates some stability and peace. It's going to be a world in calamity and nothing to restrict them until the Antichrist finally comes on the scene to bring about some kind of peace to this troubled world. The church made up of all believers in Jesus will have been removed from this world, and only unsaved people will be here during those 7 years of horror as it begins. You think about that, just unsaved people here. Unsaved, wicked people, folks. Are y'all getting this? Y'all been talking about some maybe this morning about people stealing this and stealing that. You ain't seen nothing. The church made up of all believers in Jesus will have been removed from this world, and only unsaved people will be here. And Satan will now take over with the man of sin and the false prophet, as Jesus said. This would be the worst time in human history. Now, you've heard tell of some rough times in this world. but the worst is yet to come. It could begin at any second. That's how close I believe we are. Over half of the world's population is going to be killed before Jesus comes at his second coming. Over half of the world's population will be killed. Remember, the church will already have been taken out. 2/3 of all the Jews will also be killed before Jesus comes and sets up his 1,000-year kingdom in Jerusalem. 2/3 of all the Jews. Because the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be mainly against the Jewish people. Because the Antichrist and his cohorts, they're going to be on to get rid of them Jews. There will be wars, famine, wild animals, plagues, earthquakes with disease from rotting bodies of animals and people. What an awful time to live when people could have been saved and not have had to endure the terror of the wrath of God and of Satan and of man. Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take this book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. John has written in Revelation chapter 5. Even the angels and the elders fall down to worship God for the Lamb that was slain, who is our Redeemer. That's going on while all hell is breaking loose on the earth. In heaven, it's time for worship and praise. Amen. The Redeemer, who is now going to take vengeance upon the inhabitants of the earth for all their injustice and refusal to repent of their sins and receive the salvation that was offered through Jesus Christ. Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Things committed against God's people have not been dealt with. God's going to deal with it. Luke 18:7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God's not forgetting all the bad things the wicked have done to you. Amen? The wheels of justice grind slow, but fine, someone has said. God don't get in a hurry to carry out justice, but he will carry it out. God is a God of great patience, and he has been pleading, forgiving, and delaying judgment, but now the appointed day has come, and the warnings have gone unheeded by too many. Their time has run out. The first judgment, when that seal is broken, is the revealing of a great deceiver, the Antichrist, that rides out on a white stallion. The world would think he's the one they've always needed and wanted. In 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, beginning at verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, this is the Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And the Antichrist will be gladly received by the world when he comes on the scene. Is there anything worse than a liar and a deceiver? And yet this is what the world will want to lead them. He will be the worst dictator ever. Hitler will seem like a gentleman compared to this coming monster who is satanically empowered. Even Israel will fall for his plot. Today, people everywhere are believing Satan's lies. There is no God. There is no hell. There is no judgment day. But Satan only tells lies. He never tells the truth. You don't need to go to church. You do not need to give your hard-earned money to a church. You're just as good as those people at the church. The Bible is not really God's word, as some claim. That's what Satan tells people. Revelation 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the beasts saying, come see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and him that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. He rides out peaceably with peace, offering peace to a world in chaos, into a world of confusion, into a world that's unraveling. This man, satanically empowered, is going to offer peace without firing a shot. The Antichrist comes riding on the scene to begin his reign over deceived people, folks. The world is so happy. All the Christians are gone. There's no more resistance as the world plans, and so now they can do as they please and they think. At last the world is free of those pesky Christians telling them what to do and not do. Think about how relieved the world is going to feel when we are gone. Then suddenly war breaks out. Revelation 6:4, there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. See, there was peace. The man of sin made peace, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Many Bible scholars think at this time this might be Russia with her Muslim allies that will finally come down on Israel. And that's when God intervenes and destroys Russia and her allies on the mountains of Israel. But the party is over for the world. Following the war, food shortages, Revelation 6:5-6. You remember just several months ago when this virus come about and you went to the grocery store and you couldn't find any bread? You couldn't find any paper towels or toilet tissues and other things. Suddenly there was a Everything was out. Think about how it's going to be in a tribulation time when there's no food. Because after war, there's food shortages. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld a little black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, carefully weighing it out. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." In other words, a person will work all day long to make enough money to buy food for their self. It's going to get hard into tribulation time. Could start any second. Point is, people are going to be starving everywhere, worldwide. You've seen these images on TV of starving people. It's going to be worldwide. Besides all that, you're going to have to take a mark, or you can't buy. If you take the mark, you damn your soul, you can't get saved. You go to hell. We're on the verge of that, church. This could begin any moment. To a world that's partying out there now. After the food shortages, death. In Revelation 6:7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of four beasts say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death." Death is riding on this horse. "And hell followed him." What does that mean? That means they were dying and going to hell in mass. "And I looked, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth," a fourth of the earth at this one time. Of the remaining population is going to be killed. Kill with the sword, kill with hunger, kill with death, and with the beast of the earth. Think about the hungry animals killing people. This is just the beginning of the worst suffering planet Earth has ever experienced. This is just four seals, and there's seven. And this is just the first series of judgments. Two to follow. 14 more judgments coming. Worse than what I've been talking about, church. Worse. "For God has not appointed us to wrath," praise God, "but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. We won't be here, praise God. Amen. We're going to be in heaven praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, enjoying the Lord. Amen. But this world, there's no way to describe the chaos, the confusion, the horror, the terror. And even Jesus said it's the worst time in human history. After the seven seals, there will be seven trumpet judgments that will be worse than these six or seven seal judgments. And after the trumpet judgments, there will be the bowl or vial judgments, which are even more severe, as the wrath of God is poured out upon this Christ-rejecting world. And you know why all this is happening? People have failed to repent of sin. People have ignored this book, God's Word. People have refused to listen to the wisdom of God. It's sad. Did you have to preach a message like this? But it's the truth. It's the truth. And so you and I can know we've not been pointed around. Salvation has been given to us. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord, having a body with no more aging process, no more suffering or death. We're going to live forever with a new body. And our days of troubles and trials are over, folks. We're going to be living forever. But all these here that we've been talking about, and I just give you a little preview today. What's going to happen to this world once the trumpet sounds? And people are caught unprepared. They've been shocked. And you know what's going to be really shocking? All these people that think they're saved and they're not saved. They've just been entertained. They've just had some religion. They've just been deceived out of their soul. Jesus is our only hope, folks. He's the only hope for anybody anywhere. And all I can tell you is he saved this old poor preacher. And I believe every word I'm telling you today. And I trust that you'll not only believe it, you'll live by this old book. And you'll help your family, your friends, your co-workers know we could be gone any second. They'll be in a mess if they ain't saved. Amen. Loving God, thank you for letting me one more time try to expound the Word of God, to challenge our people, to encourage our people, and to just, Lord, help us to realize how blessed we are by the grace of God, just the pure grace of God that would save a sinner like me. That would give it to us. It's free. It's a gift. But we must repent of sin. We must turn from sin. We must trust in the Lord and live for the Lord. Bless each one here today. Bless those unable to be here. Bless the needs in this bulletin, Lord. Lord, there's so many people that needs the mercy and the grace of God today. We lift all of them up, Lord, and especially these here in our salvation box that's deceived. So deceived, Lord. And yet Christ died for them, offers to save them, that they just call on the Lord. Bless. Have your way, and we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God bless. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning, talk to the Lord. I always like to do that. Is somebody here really not saved? I don't ever know, you know. I'm not the judge. We invite people to salvation in Christ.